Good morning and a happy Christmas.
Thank you.
Turning your Bibles, please, to Isaiah chapter 9. Let me just explain what's going to happen. I know that this is a little longer than normal on a Christmas morning, but with it being a Sunday as well, we just felt it was important to really mark the day and not to miss out on anything really, but our teaching is going to be a good bit shorter than usual. And we're just going to read three brief passages. I'm going to speak to you, and then I have one very, very short video to show you, and then we will be done. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And I just want you to notice, twice there at the beginning of the verse, it says that this child is born and this son is given unto us. Luke chapter 2, please. We've read this already. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. The words of the angel to the shepherds on the hillside that night. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. So Isaiah, 700 years before Christ was born, prophesied that unto us, unto the world, unto the people of the world, a child will be born. And then to one little group of those people, the angel said, there is born to you this day a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. And then the final verse, please, in the book of Galatians and chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And we trust that God will bless these readings to us. One of my favourite carols, which we don't often sing because there's probably not that many people that know it. Well, it starts like this. See amid the winter's snow, born for us. That was the thought in those verses, wasn't it? Born for us on earth below. See the tender lamb appears, promised from eternal years. Hail, thou ever blessed morn. Hail, redemption's happy dawn. Sing through all Jerusalem. Christ is born in Bethlehem. But I have a question as we think about all this morning, these verses and that little carol. For what purpose do we think was Jesus Christ born? We've read that he was born to us. The shepherds were told, to you a Saviour has been born. Born for us on earth below, the carol says. We might think, as we think of a modern 2022 Christmas in Ireland, that Jesus Christ was born just to give us a nice custom so that we could have an excuse for a celebration. To give us a day of happiness amidst the craziness of life. Or maybe, sadly, there might even be some, maybe even some in this room, who think that whilst it's good fun to celebrate Christmas, really it's all just a fairy story. Well, my answers to my question, for what purpose was Jesus Christ born, are based on my belief and the belief of so many of us here that Jesus Christ is God. God come down to earth. God manifest in the flesh, as we read in John chapter 1. And I want to think with you for a moment about the purpose, or the purposes, some of them anyway, as to why Jesus Christ was born. I think he was born, first of all, to bring God right down to where we are. We read it this morning from Matthew chapter 1, that he is Emmanuel, God with us. We see in God sending his Son, love in action, for God so loved the world, John 3:16 says. that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God sent his Son, secondly, not just so that he would come right down to where we are, but he sent him to make God himself relatable to us, somebody that we could understand. It's hard for us to think of what God is like when we think of God as a spirit and God in the heaven and the God of creation. But when God sent the Lord Jesus, God himself, the Son of God, we could relate to him because he came as a little baby. And he lived as a child, going to school and playing with his friends, and he grew up to be a man. He was a son and a brother and a cousin, the Bible tells us. He was a friend to so many, those disciples and so many more. He was a leader of those disciples, and yet he was a servant, coming not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He came, thirdly, to display God's power. He performed incredible miracles, making the blind to see and the lame to walk. And one day he calmed a storm on a lake where his disciples were in the boat with him. And most of them were fishermen and they were used to storms. But when they saw him calm that storm, they said this: "What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." He came fourthly to declare God's truth, to tell us the truth. If God is really God, there can only be one truth. And it's his truth. And so as Jesus taught, what was he teaching? He was teaching the truth of God. And as we read again this morning, so many things we're thinking of, we've read already. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He came fifthly to demonstrate how perfect God is. The angel, when the angel came to Mary and she couldn't quite get all that was going to happen and how it was going to happen, the angel said to her, "That Holy One that shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. And you will look in vain in the pages of Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, the four Gospels, to find any mistake that Jesus made, any sin that he committed, any fault that was in him. He came to show us how perfect God is." He was the child that never had to be told off at school. He was the son that never annoyed his parents. He was the man who went about doing good, the Bible says, because he could do nothing else. He came sixthly, and this is what people so commonly think of when we think about why Jesus came. He came sixthly to set us a good example of how to live. Yes, he did. He did. But as I thought of that, I remembered this, that as we look at the wonderful, perfect example that Jesus has set, we realize that by setting us that example, he has given us a standard that we know we can never reach. Never reach. No matter how hard we try. And so that brings us to the seventh and most important reason as to why he died. Yes, or why he came. He came to bring God right down to where we are. He came to make God relatable to us. He came to display God's power and declare God's truth and demonstrate God's perfection and to set us a wonderful example. But he came, he was born to die. Those three words have been ringing in my head the last 2 weeks, and that's why, even though our little meeting has gone on a little mourning, I must preach this. He was born to die. Do you find that shocking this morning? If he really is who he says he is, if that little baby that we love to think of today really is the Son of God, if he really lived that wonderful life and set that wonderful example and never did anything wrong, is it shocking to us to think that he was born to die? Well, yes, it is. But that again is the love and the grace of God in action. And we read, you wouldn't have noticed it maybe, but we read that he was born to die in those verses that I read at the beginning. He was born, the shepherds were told, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour." That just means someone who had come to rescue from danger. I wonder what the danger would be. Paul told the Galatians in chapter 4 that He had been born to redeem. He was not only a saviour, but a redeemer. That's a word that was used back then when someone would go to the slave market and pay a price to purchase a slave out of slavery, to purchase a slave so that the slave could be free. Jesus came to be a saviour and to be a redeemer. If he came to be a saviour and we ask, what's the danger? Well, when we think about him being a redeemer, we need to ask, what's the debt that he paid? Well, you see, the danger and the debt are one and the same, aren't they? The danger and the debt are our sin, our sinfulness, our sins, and the consequences of them. You see, yes, Jesus showed how good he is, but in doing so, he showed us in stark, obvious contrast how messed up and sinful and disobedient to the truth of God we all are. And the even more shocking thing, but it's actually not shocking because we all know it's true. That sin means that we too, every single one of us, are also born to die. We know that's coming physically. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9. But the Bible tells us that we're all born to die if we never trust Christ as our Saviour, to die spiritually, to be away from God, not in heaven, but in a place the Bible calls hell forever and ever. And in Revelation chapter 20, John, the writer there, simply says this about those who are cast into hell. He says, this is the second death. Born to die. Christ was. He was because we are. Our sin means that death is on our track. Our sin means that death is round the corner. But praise God, Christ came for all those other reasons. But ultimately he came to die so that we might live. The joy of Christmas is that Christ was born. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. To you is born this day in the city of David a saviour. He came to redeem. And we sang in our carol that I was going to give out before I spoke. We sang, born to raise the sons of earth, born to give them second birth. And if you can follow my flow, let me put it like this. Christ was born to die for those who are born to die, so that those who are born to die might instead live forever. Oh, what a gift this morning. And I hope you get the best gift you've ever had when you get home. We haven't opened our presents yet. We do them in the afternoon in our house. Well, the boys have opened some, but I haven't opened any. I hope I get something good. But the best gift you could open this Christmas is the gift that God offers to you right now. There is nothing else worth having compared to Christ. He was born to die. He was born for you. And so this morning, will you come? He offers that gift to you. And when I get home this afternoon and hopefully somebody hands me a gift, I'll not get the wallet out and say, how much do I owe you? I'll not put it in the corner and say, no thanks, not for me. I'll not take the wrapping paper off, and no matter how shocked I am at maybe the miserable gift it is, I'll not say, I don't want to enjoy that. I will make the most of it. Will you accept the gift of God to you this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you turn from your sin, turn from your religion, turn from yourself, and turn to Christ and trust him as your Savior? Christ is born to die. Christ is born for you. While I get the little video ready, I'm going to ask Martin if he would close in prayer, and then I'll play this to you, and then we'll be finished. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, what a gift you have given us. The gift of eternal life, Lord, that costs us nothing. It's a free gift, and we praise your name for it this morning. And Lord Jesus, we thank you that you stepped down into this world, became one of us, and died for us, that we may have life. We praise you this morning. Amen.
Amen.